Well, praise our God. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I just couldn't help but remember how the Lord's protected us. I know even this year we've had a lot of wind. We've had some fierce rain at times earlier, and at times the wind was so strong. It was again today. Wow, I could hardly open the door. A plant kind of was rolling on my deck, and I tried to retrieve it, which I guess I did, but oh man, I could hardly open the door. But God is good, and he brought to my mind how he helped us before, and you know, I traveling here and to and fro at times, you know, when storms were racing in the area or about to fall, but yet God would cause a calm and we'd be able to make it, or he'd help us through the raging wind or rain or whatever it was, and all would be well. And I'm so thankful to God that we can put our hearts all at ease, because we serve such an amazing, wonderful God who cares for us and who watches over us, who knows how to keep us. He knows how to keep the storms at bay, and oh yes, he knows how to protect us through those things. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's the mighty God we serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's begin it with prayer here tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this privilege. Oh, Lord, that we could come here, Lord. Oh, God, sheltered from the winds, and oh, Lord, here in thy presence, Lord. Oh, yes, your everlasting shelter. Oh, God, how you keep us, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we could put our confidence in you, Lord. We could put our confidence in your promises, Lord. God, we know that they are yea and amen, Lord. And oh, God, there are no nays in your promises. Oh God, that's a wonderful thought, Lord. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Oh God, how you brought us here together tonight, Lord, those online and those here in this building. Oh God, we thank you, we praise you. I pray that you'd have your way in this word that you've directed me to, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd use it for thy kingdom and for thy glory, Lord. Oh God, that we would all, oh God, grow in thee and be steadfast. Oh God, be faithful, Lord. Bear forth fruit, oh Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd help each and every one, Lord, for you know each and every burden and each and every need, Lord, even before we begin to ask, Lord. You know, oh God, the trials. You know the needs. And God, you are here to deliver. I pray that you'd use me in the name of Jesus. I pray that you'd use your word, Lord. Let it speak to our hearts. Oh God, let it come to mind, oh Lord, the things that we need to remember. And I pray, oh God, that you'd be here in a very special way. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank God. Well, we serve an amazing God. Amen. And I just really felt like I was directed to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, actually, today. Well, actually, last night when the Lord was helping me to see scripture that he wanted me to bring forth. Praise the Lord. But oh my, as we begin here tonight, and we're going to call this, I reckon it's going to be a series. I'm calling it Our Life in Christ. And, you know, it's always an amazing story. Actually, each and every one of us has an amazing story. How the Lord got our attention and helped us to see our great need. And, oh, yes, that willingness in our heart to turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, to repent of all our folly and all our misdeeds and, oh my, all the sin in our lives. Praise the Lord. It was because of him, because he called us, because he drew us by his Spirit. And here, you know, we are such wonderful recipients of his grace and of his mercy. And, oh my, it would not be except that God has had great and wonderful mercy upon us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, yes, we can live in Christ. Oh, yes, to live is Christ, to die is gain, as Paul mentioned. Praise the Lord. Let's just begin with a few verses here, going to a very familiar passage, 2 Corinthians 5:17 here to begin. Praise the Lord as we talk about our life in Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Praise the Lord. It tells us here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, praise the Lord. That is such a wonderful, beautiful passage. Amen. To think that the Lord takes those old, ugly things of our past, those things that we regret and even hate to think of, but praise the Lord, he takes them, he erases them. They're passed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And oh yes, he took the slate of our life and he wiped it clear. Amen. Praise the Lord, he wiped it clear so that we could begin anew, so all things could become new. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, a new creature in Christ. And I always love that word creature because, oh yes, it refers to God's ability to make something from nothing. And that's exactly what we were before we knew the Lord. We were nothing. Praise the Lord. And I just love how he took us and erased the old slate. And oh yes, gave us the opportunity to become a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then let's just turn here to Ephesians, the second chapter, for a few verses. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 here. And it tells us, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. And again, you know, as Brother Samuel points out many times, the word quicken means to make alive. And that's a wonderful thing because, yes, we were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, in our old life of the old man. It was, you know, we didn't know the Lord. We didn't have hope. We were without Christ in this world. And we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And then there's a reminder in verse 2. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And yeah, that's descriptive of the old life. You would, oh my, we didn't know better and we were just doing those things that came to mind and trying to have a good time and oh my, doing the things that, you know, we thought we wanted to do. But oh, little did we know, oh, we were walking on the road that leads to death. We were actually dead in the eyes of God. And oh yes, we were just, you know, obeying the whims and the will of the prince of the power of the air, the devil. And oh yes, that spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. It was in us, you know, we had that mindset and oh my, you know, we had that rebellion and everything else. And you know, even though the Lord so blessed me that I could come to him at age 8, I still know, oh my, I was pretty naughty. And oh my, my will was not to live for Jesus until he got a hold of me. And I am so thankful that he did. And then it explains more in verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And oh my, just, you know, walking in our old flesh, the old man and just, you know, obeying its whims, doing all those things. But oh my, not realizing we were indeed the children of wrath. Oh yes, we were not in accord with God. And oh yes, we were headed for that terrible place called the lake of fire. Oh my, but praise the Lord, God got our attention. Yes, verse 4 tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he called us when we were living in that other world. He called us when we were dead in our sins. Amen. And oh, yes, somehow, like I already have stated, he got our attention and he quickened us. Oh, yes, to make us alive in Christ Jesus. By his grace, amen. And oh yes, as we walk with him, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's such a beautiful thing when we come here together. Oh yes, when we worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth. Oh, praise the Lord. It's as we are sitting in heavenly places, the Lord comes and walks among us, praise the Lord. And oh yes, he talks to our hearts. And oh yes, there are times when we can feel his presence in such a tangible way that there are no doubts in our minds that he is here. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes, he raises us up out of our old sinful nature, out of our old man state. And oh, he brings us together so that we can sit together and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then verse 7 tells us that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. All the wonderful, wonderful things that he hath prepared for them that love him. Eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And oh my, it's going to be so beyond anything that we ever imagined. I just know it. It states here the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. For he continues to say in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he called us for his purpose and for his plan to make a new creature out of our lives. Oh, praise the Lord, so that we can become his product, his creation, his workmanship. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and professing unto good works. Oh, yes, the way that God has ordained that we should walk in them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, Jesus made it quite clear that this way is a straight and narrow way. Oh yes, he made it clear that literally few there be that find it. And oh yes, if the Lord has had such mercy on us, he called us to his amazing grace, then praise the Lord, we are so blessed and so privileged. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, very blessed indeed. Oh yes, that we don't have to walk the road that almost everybody seems to walk on. Oh, that road that is easy in that sense. It's wide. Oh, it's broad. You know, it's easy in that sense. But God has ordained the straight and narrow way. The straight gate that opens to the narrow way, oh yes, for his children to walk upon. And yes, He does have expectations of his people. Amen. Let's go to Matthew, the 10th chapter here for a moment. Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to read some of Jesus' instructions, his words here in this 10th chapter. He says, going down to verse 34 here, Matthew, the 10th chapter, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." And yes, I know very clearly that he came to bring peace to our hearts. But oh my, that's not the peace that this world talks about. It is not the kind of peace that man tries to bring forth by any means. And you know, Jesus knew that bringing forth his sons and his daughters wouldn't promote that kind of peace on this earth. No, instead it's a peace that's in our heart, a peace that passes all understanding. But he knew because of our walk with the Lord that it would bring forth division. Yes, he said, "I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And then Jesus said, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Oh yes, the gospel's going to divide. Oh yes, it's going to cause some hardness here in hearts so that they're not going to see and understand and even like us. It's going to cause variance. Amen? Yes, that means that there's going to be conflicts. There's going to be disagreements. And Jesus said, "Yes, a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Actually, he was quoting from Micah 7, verse 6, when he stated that. And then he instructs a little bit more. Verse 37 here in this 10th chapter. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And he is telling us that he needs to be first in our life. Oh, before the priorities of others, even people we love. You know, we prove our love for Jesus Christ by the way we represent his kingdom. Oh yes, by the pedestal that we put him on, you know, by the reverence we have in our hearts for him. And oh yes, that first place that we reserve for Jesus Christ. And then he went on to say, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." And yes, there is going to be a cross that each one of us is going to carry. We may not like all the features of that cross, but you know, unless we forsake our own desires, our own will, our own motivations, the things that the old man wanted to do, unless we forsake them and take up that cross that Jesus Christ gave us and is personal. My cross is different than everybody else's, and yours is different than mine. And yes, you know, yet, you know, he's not going to give us more than we can bear. We know that also. But oh, he said in verse 39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." And oh yes, I believe this 39th verse is referring to the fact that in following Jesus Christ that we're putting down the old man and all those desires that the flesh wants to bring forth. And instead, we're saying, "Not my will, but thine be done, Lord Jesus." Yes, in order to lose our life in this spiritual sense here, that means that we let go of the things that would be hindering in the kingdom of God, the things that are not in the will of God. Instead, yes, taking up that cross so that we can follow him, so that we can do his will, so we can be his disciple, or as we understand his disciple being under his discipline. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And that's what is meant here by this 39th verse. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Those goals, those ambitions, all those things we thought we wanted to do, all those goods we wanted to accumulate, and, you know, all those things that were in the back of our mind. But praise the Lord, we die out to those things that are not in the will of God. And instead, oh yes, allowing his will to be done in our lives, seeking his kingdom first, knowing that Jesus said, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And one more interesting little portion I want to point out here before I get into 2 Corinthians. Here in the next chapter, Matthew 11, I'd just like to read verse 12. It reads, verse 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." And I believe this verse is indicating that in serving God, in being a participant in his kingdom, oh yes, that it's not necessarily going to be easy. It could mean that there are some hard things that we have to bear. There are some struggles. There would be things that would be persecuting by others. And you know, there would be things that would bring forth tribulation. It's not going to be easy. It's his kingdom. It suffers violence. So, you know, that means that everything isn't silky smooth in that regard. But praise the Lord, his people have a different mindset. It says the violent take it by force. You know what that means? It means that God gives us a great determination, no matter what it means to serve the Lord, that we're going to go forth and obey him and do his will. Amen. We're going to take it by force. Oh, it may mean struggles. It may mean abandonment. It may mean being despised. It may mean being hated, even by our loved ones. But praise the Lord, we know that there's something greater than the things of this world. There is something to strive for. There is something, oh yes, to work towards. And that is, oh, the privilege of being a participant in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, it suffereth violence. Oh yes, it's not going to be too easy. Suffereth meaning experiencing violence. And oh my, you know, that just means that, yeah, at times, you know, we're just going to go through some hardships, some tribulation, oh, things we'd rather not do. But, oh, praise the Lord, we know our eyes are on a goal. Oh, it's in front of us, and it motivates us, and it stirs us to walk with the Lord, you know, regardless of consequences. So, therefore, the violent take it by force. Praise the Lord. Oh, that determination that he puts within us that we're going to serve God. Amen. Regardless of what cost it may mean. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's go now to 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to the very first chapter here. And oh my, you know, this church at Corinth, this of course is the second epistle to that church. We can read how it was established in the 18th chapter of Acts. And, you know, it was such a church. And, you know, God gave Paul a vision while he was there so many times.
He couldn't stay at one place for any long length of time because of persecution. Usually the Jews, coming to kill him, actually, and, if he didn't run for his life, they probably would have got him. So anyway, here in Corinth, he was able to stay a little longer. Yeah, he was actually there for about a year and a half, we are told, and God gave him a vision while he was there, and I suppose at the beginning of the ministry there, in that vision, the Lord spoke to Paul and told him, "Be not afraid," and this is in Acts, the 18th chapter, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city." Oh, that must have been so beautiful to Paul's ears. Oh, he had to flee from so many other places, but here he was able to stay a little longer and help establish them in the ways of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And yes, you can read a little bit more if you want to there in that 18th chapter of Acts. But here is his second epistle to that church. And we know after he left, obviously, that some questionable things happened. And he had addressed those questionable things, or those things that were completely in discord with God's word there in the first epistle of Corinthians there, 1 Corinthians. And so, yes, we read of that. And then here he's bringing forth his second epistle here. We're going to go to his introduction here as he begins this letter. After, yes, all the other issues have been, presented there, and Timothy was able to come and deal with them also, and it just seemed like a lot of good things happened that they did receive that first letter, that first epistle. But let's look at this first chapter of 2 Corinthians here tonight. It tells us, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Achaia refers to that lower part of Greece there on the Gulf of Corinth. Sparta was an ancient city that was in this area. And after the Romans came in and conquered Greece, they did annex Achaia there in 146 BC. So anyway, of course, then this area is under the Romans at the time of this epistle. Praise the Lord. So, yes, he says in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And yes, if you walk with the Lord for any length of time, and we've already spoken of this tonight, there's going to be some hardships. There's going to be some tribulation. And, we might even wonder at times why. But, we're going to learn a great deal from those hardships, from those tribulations. And, I think one thing that we're going to learn is that God comforts us. He uses those hard issues to get us deeper in his word, to bring us to a closer relationship with him. And oh yes, to teach us many things, but also it's going to help us to also associate tribulation and hardship, pain and suffering with other people. Amen. We're going to, you know, be able to relate better. And yes, because, you know, we've gone through it, then we can turn around and comfort other people. Amen. Yes, and that, I believe, is what Paul is trying to bring forth there in that fourth verse. Oh, yes. For he goes on to say, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. And with consolation, yes, it's referring to comfort that comes forth out of those hardships, out of those persecutions, out of those trials. And, you know, as, you know, Paul wrote in Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3, 4, and 5, you know, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, yeah, which is given unto us. So there is a purpose for those hardships, all those painful moments, that tribulation, you know, in dealing with it, in going through it, it's going to bring forth experience that we would not have otherwise.
Amen.
And with that experience comes something called hope. Oh, praise the Lord, that hope is a wonderful blessing. Oh, yes, because it makes us not ashamed. Oh, yes, because we can perceive the Lord who enables us, who knows how to take us through these hardships. Oh, he sheds his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there's a great consolation in all of this. And, yes, it aboundeth by Christ Jesus. Oh, in other words, it's plentiful. It's abundant. It's overflowing. It abounds, that comfort, that consolation. And he goes on to describe more. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and your salvation. So you see, yes, there are reasons for those trials, for that testing, for those tribulations. Yes, so he says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. All these experiences which bring forth hope. And yes, oh, they can go forth to help others in need and going through those tests and trials likewise. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes. Oh, it teaches us, oh, the greatness of God's mercy and love. And oh, yes, we are not ashamed. Praise the Lord. We have that hope. And it tells us in verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Oh, praise the Lord. You see how that works together? Oh, yes, it's expected that the family of God would go through hardships. Back to, oh my, you know, we read of some of that even last week, John 16, verse 33. Oh, yes, where, you know, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, Jesus went through trials and testing and tribulation. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, of every kind. But yet without sin, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, because he overcame. Oh, we have that great hope too, that by his strength and by his power, we too can overcome. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, so regardless of this, yes, there is an end. There is a reason for it. Oh yes, there is a great revenue even of our sufferings. And yes, it's expected. All they that are in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh yes, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yes, so the Lord uses all of this for his kingdom. Oh yes, to grow us in the Lord, to make us what we need to be in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. As we look just for a moment at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I think we'll have just a little more insight. You can turn there with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It tells us, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear or endure, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And I believe Paul is referring to a great trial and test he had there in Thessalonica. And, you know, there with that church, he wasn't able to stay with them long at all. Many Greeks had reached out to embrace the gospel. And it was a growing, beautiful church, but the Jews all became very jealous and contemptible in that, you know, that the Greeks were coming to Jesus and embracing the gospel, and they came after Paul. And he suffered great things of them and had to flee. He actually had to flee to Berea, and then from Berea, he went on to Athens. And yes, those Jews came to Berea too, and oh my, tried to, get them all out and, kill them, whatever all they were intending to do, but God preserved them.
Amen.
But it tells us, you know, so as he's referring to this here in this first verse here in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and yes, we can read of that in the book of Acts, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Yes, because I believe Paul having to leave that church so readily after they were just brand new converts, and you know, he didn't get there to, you know, stay and work with them and establish them in the truth. Well, he was very desirous that they would be established in the faith, and yes, he sent Timothy there to work with them and you know, to help this work to be established and comforted in faith. Amen. And then he says in verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Yes, and they were persecuted so readily, so right away. And you know, it was quite the move of God there. And you know, just those that opposed the gospel could see the workings of God in such a mighty way that, you know, they made comment that the gospel had changed them in a mighty way, and that which, you know, they despised had invaded them, so to speak, in so many words. Oh my. But despite the afflictions, it says in verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. It's a given in the kingdom of God that there's going to be hardships. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. So obviously, in bringing forth this church and as they were beginning their life in Jesus Christ, that was a point that Paul emphasized, that in serving God, that they would suffer tribulation. And yes, it came to pass really quite readily. Indeed it did. but obviously that was a point that he wanted them to understand, and he desired, oh yes, that they would not be moved by those afflictions. And praise God, they really weren't, you know, because, you know, in that very first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, we can tell that, you know, the gospel from their mouths had spread, oh, to all those different places in Macedonia and in Achaia, that their faith in God had spread in such a way that, you know, those that were in Asia heard the gospel, and that they, oh, you know, that they could hear the mighty works of God. You know, it spread. That, oh my, it was rumored that they had turned the world upside down. Oh yes, by their love for the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So yes, that was a point that Paul wanted them to understand, that tribulation would follow. And yes, though he was very concerned that, you know, it would not, you know, turn them off and then cause them to forsake serving the Lord, and they didn't. Praise the Lord. You know, but so yes, that was one reason there. He sent Timothy to help establish them and to make sure that all was well in their midst. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But yes, again, in 2 Corinthians here, verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation, or the great hope that we have in our heart. It's all a part of, oh yes, that which we suffer for the kingdom of God. And then he tells of the trouble that he personally was enduring there. It says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out a measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. And oh yes, I believe he's talking of some of those desperate moments in Asia. You know, God had worked mightily, and oh yes, one thing that had happened, oh yes, when a man who had been lame was gloriously healed by the power of Jesus Christ, oh my, he ended up in them stoning Paul, and you know, leaving him for dead. And you know, indeed, he may have been dead, but the Church of Jesus Christ, the saints gathered around him and prayed, and he stood up on his feet and went back into the city. Praise the Lord. But he had gone through extreme difficulties there, oh, on that mission trip. Yes, he expresses it here. Oh, the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out a measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. So it seemed so desperate, so bad, oh my, that you know, Paul was thinking, oh my, it's going to end. It seemed like, you know, it was going to be over in that sense. But look at verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. And you can imagine the faith that all entered in there, that faith, oh, that helps us as individual, that faith that we must have in order to serve the Lord. Oh yes, that we can't trust in ourselves, in our own predicaments, in our own circumstances. Oh my, here he was in great trouble. Oh my, it was so hard. He was so pressed in his person, in his being. Oh my, it was so strong, the severe, the persecution, that, oh my, he was despondent. He was despairing even of life. But oh yes, faith enters in. And oh, it's such a beautiful thing when faith comes into the scene and all at once, oh, we have confidence in our God and we can feel that everything is going to be okay. Oh yes, despite the moment, despite the hardship, despite the trial, despite the pain, the suffering, whatever is going on, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Oh, we're not going to trust in our circumstances. We're not going to just look on the physical here. But oh, we're going to put our faith in God. Oh, the one who knows how to raise the dead. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the one with whom there is nothing too hard. Amen. Nothing too hard for our God.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And it tells us in verse 10, who delivereth us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Praise the Lord. Oh, the lessons that we learn when faith comes into the scene and God brings forth a mighty deliverance and everything turns around. Everything that was going the other way and oh, it looks so severe and so hopeless, but yet, oh, praise the Lord. God moves into the picture in a mighty way. Oh, yes, and all those strongholds and oh, all that turbulence begins to come down. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, as God comes forth to bring forth his plan and his purpose. Oh, yes, to deliver, to set free. Oh, yes, from that moment. Praise the Lord. Oh, the things at hand. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I'm just going to read that little portion there in 2 Timothy where Paul is describing some of this here that I believe he's speaking of here in 2 Corinthians. But it tells us here, 2 Timothy 3, and I'm going to read verses 10, 11, and 12. Verse 10 tells us, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, all of those attributes are the fruit of the Spirit. Praise the Lord." And then he said, "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But look at this. But out of them all the Lord delivered me." Oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful statement. Oh, yes. And he was, oh my, he was on that rocky, turbulent sea. Oh, yes, as all these occurrences happened. And oh, yes, he was persecuted beyond what he could almost endure. But praise the Lord, out of them all, there at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, yes, the place where he was stoned. Oh, yes, all these places where the Jews came after him to hinder him. Oh, yes, to get rid of him, to do as much evil as they could. And even, yes, oh, yes, they even stoned him. Oh, yes, but he says, "But out of them all the Lord delivered me." Praise the Lord, what a testimony there. Oh, yes, his first missions trip, I believe, there when he was with Barnabas. Praise the Lord, all those trials that are recorded in the book of Acts. Acts 13, oh, yes, and Acts 14, oh, where we could read of these events. But praise the Lord, he could say, "Out of them all the Lord delivered me." And then he says in verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Oh, you see, it's an expectation. It is something that he felt, yes, that the believers in Christ needed to be aware of. And Jesus addressed it too, yes, oh, yes, in so many ways, and telling us to take up our cross and following him. Oh, yes, and yes, telling us that we needed to walk oh, that straight gate and narrow way that leads to life. Amen. That few are willing to go on. Amen. Amen. But praise the Lord. It tells us again here in 2 Corinthians. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead." Praise the Lord. who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And oh yes, I know when we follow some of the lives of events in Paul's life, we can't help but marvel how he kept going despite all those trials and agitations and hardships and, you know, on and on and on and on. Oh, that list is so long. We could turn over to 2 Corinthians 11 for the moment and just read of, you know, his very long list of sufferings. Let's just do that for a moment. He says here, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Well, we'll start with verse 22, I guess. No, better go to verse 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a testimony. And he was criticized. And oh yes, it is so that, you know, he had to actually remind those folks at Corinth of his sufferings and of his credentials spiritually, what he had endured for the kingdom of God's sake. And oh yes, that's what he's doing here in this 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. But oh yes, he went through much. And he could say here in this first chapter, verse 10 again, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Oh, praise the Lord in those lessons that we learn when we go through these moments. Oh, we learn that we can put our faith, our trust, our hope in the living God, and he's going to take us through. He's going to carry us through these hardships, these moments, by his grace. Oh, yes, by his ability, by his wonderful comfort. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yet there's something else here I want you to notice here. Verse 11, here it says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Oh, what is he talking about? He's talking about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. He's talking about the prayer of the saints. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how is it? You know, we can just, be doing our things during a course of a day and all at once, somebody will come upon our heart, you know. A need will present itself. We may not know the details, but we will feel that need to pray for that individual or that circumstance that the Lord puts on our hearts. And praise the Lord, there's such a blessing in all that. Oh, these people in Corinth, they had been instrumental in their prayers. And he could acknowledge that in verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. Oh, yes, God hears those prayers. They come forth. Oh, yes, they go to his throne. That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, he had written, Paul had written, you know, from time to time the need, you know, for people, his brethren, to pray for him. Oh, yes, he had requested that in his epistles. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. And oh, yes, I believe that means that, oh, the spirit of prayer should always be upon us so that at a moment's notice, we can utter those prayers from our hearts or from our vocal cords. Oh, yes, that need that the Lord puts upon us, that need that, oh, my, needs attention to the throne of God. And oh, what a blessing that is. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. Oh, those wonderful prayers that the Lord heard that intervened for the circumstance, conditions that we maybe couldn't know. Oh, you know, in actuality, but oh, yes, we knew that there was a need. Oh, we knew there was a matter that was going forth. We knew, oh, God had put that person on our hearts and we needed to pray. And, oh, yes, what a beautiful thing that is when we can bring those petitions to the throne of God. Oh, that is such a beautiful thing. You know, I'm so thankful for our prayer team, those of you that, you know, receive the requests and, you know, pray fervently. Oh, yes, as we bring forth those petitions. You know, that's such a beautiful thing. And I love how God hears and answers prayer. You know, I just couldn't help but think, you know, just, you know, recently, you know, your prayers on behalf of, you know, my great-grandchild that was born the other day, you know, on the 8th. You know, I just, you know, God heard the prayers of his people. And, you know, I know it was mentioned, you know, she had some false labor the Sunday, well, actually, maybe almost 10 days or so before the actuality of the birth, but I know you folks were praying, and I had such a privilege of praying for Sophia, you know, that day too. And, you know, thanks be to God, because God hears those prayers, and it's our privilege. Oh, it's such a blessing that, you know, we therefore are partakers in the event. You know, and what's to say, what's the greater when you pray for this ministry? It strengthens us. God hears us, hears those prayers. And, you know, he knows the particulars. He knows the exact needs. And praise the Lord, it makes you a participant and a blessing. Oh, yes. Oh, a participant in this ministry. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's one beautiful way that, oh, yes, we can serve the Lord. The way that we can bless one another. And oh, yes, those desires that are needful, those burdens, those incidents that, you know, need the hand of God. Oh, God allows it. Prayer is for a reason. You know, it's a wonderful way that we can all approach God and all participate in the kingdom of God. Praise Amen. The Lord. Praise the Lord in our life with Christ Jesus. Amen. Of course, it tells us in James, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And that's such a beautiful thing. Oh, praise the Lord. You know that along with that prayer of faith that, you know, delivers us from the sickness, here's a promise that any sins would also be forgiven. Oh, praise the Lord. And we're told to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that prayer from the heart. Oh, yes, of one who is fervent, of one who is righteous in the eyes of God. Oh, yes, the one who prays effectively, effectual, fully adequately, that fervency of spirit, praise the Lord. It tells us that it avails much here in that 16th verse. Oh, that's a beautiful thought. Oh, yes, our prayers are not in vain. No, you know, the Lord uses them. And I thank God for the times when God has laid somebody on my heart. Oh, maybe even times when I knew there was a dire need and maybe I spent all night praying. And oh, how the Lord heard and how the Lord answered. That is making intercession. That is a work of God's people, that we're able to bring those petitions before the throne of God. And oh, how he uses that. He uses that. You know, it's a beautiful thing. You know that we're able, yes, to help bear one another's burdens in that sense. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know just a few weeks ago, I just had nearly fallen in the bathtub. I caught myself, but, you know, it was like I kind of, you know, kind of caught myself, and there was kind of like a feeling in my ribs that, you know, maybe something had cracked or something. And, you know, oh, my, I didn't, you know, I was a little bit concerned and worried. You know, I could kind of feel it there as I, you know, I did my things that day and so on. But you know what? Some of you prayed for me. And that was a beautiful thing because the Lord heard that prayer. Amen. And you know, if it was a cracked rib, God knows, it quickly healed. It very quickly healed. And 5-6 days later, I couldn't feel it at all.
Amen.
The Lord took care of it. But praise the Lord, that's the prayer of faith. That's the prayer of the saints. Oh, that's the great wonder when we pray one for another. That effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. Praise the Lord. And here in James, it tells us, or shall I say, it reminds us of Elijah. It tells us in verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly, it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then it tells us in verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Praise the Lord. Yes, Elijah was human as we are. He had like passions. You know, he knew what it was like to be on a mountain and, you know, have great faith, but he knew what it was like to feel pretty low and be despondent and be discouraged and not know what to think. But praise the Lord, that prayer of faith went, it came to him that he was going to pray that it would not rain. Oh, yes, it would cause old King Ahab to realize that there is a God in heaven. No, he better get right with him. And oh, yes, God heard that prayer of faith by the prophet Elijah. And yes, it did not rain for the space of 3 years and 6 months. No rain whatsoever. And then when God stirred his heart and Elijah began to know that it was again time for it to rain after, oh yes, the amazing miracle when the hearts of the children of Israel were turned again to God. Oh yes, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. When God consumed, oh yes, the sacrifice on the altar. Oh, praise the Lord. And the children of Israel could finally realize that the God Elijah served was indeed the God that they needed to serve. And oh yes, they got right with God. Oh yes, and God then told him, yes, now you can pray for rain. You've turned the hearts of the children of Israel back to me, and now I can send rain. And yes, it tells us he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Oh, what a beautiful thing. The Lord heard those prayers of Elijah the prophet. Oh, yes, and he answered them precisely and exactly. Oh, yes, he did mighty works because of the prayer of faith that Elijah was willing to pray. The boldness, oh, yes, that he showed in his faith when he would utter things that, oh, would seem impossible. But yet having faith in God and knowing that, oh, yes, there is a God in heaven who is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think, a God who hears us when, oh, we send forth our petitions. Oh, what a beautiful thing. Oh, yes, Elijah, a man subject to like passions such as we have. Yet, oh, yes, he was able to touch God. Oh, he was able to make intercession in such a way that God would do tremendous feats there. Oh, yes, as recorded in 1 Kings, praise the Lord, I believe, chapter 17 and 18. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, our God hears those prayers of his people. You know, when Peter was going through that tremendous trial there in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, there's a notable thing that was happening there. Oh, yes, you know, it's told us there in Acts chapter 12 that Herod the king had stretched forth his hand to vex the church. He had killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and then because he saw, oh, that pleases the Jews, he went on to take Peter. And oh, yes, Peter was put into prison. And he was delivered there for quaternions of soldiers to keep him like he was some dangerous criminal. And then, he was thinking, yeah, that, he'd bring him out after the heathen custom of Easter and so on before the people, and most likely he would have been executed. But there was Peter in prison. Oh, not a pretty prison by any means. I'm sure it was dark and dingy. Oh my, I would suppose there's bugs crawling all over the place and God knows what else. But something was happening there. Oh yes, because the Church of the Living God was praying for Peter without ceasing. Oh yes, we're told that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him there in the 12th chapter of Acts, verse 5. And oh, God heard those prayers. Oh, you never know how God is going to answer. But we serve a God who is not limited by physics. He is not limited, oh, by any force of man. Oh my, by anything at all. And when God heard those prayers on behalf of Peter, God sent, oh, a mighty deliverance. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. There he was, Peter in prison, sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains. And here, the keepers of the door before him in the prison. And all at once, oh, amazingly, the angel of the Lord came upon him. There was a light in that person. Oh, yes, that angel of God awakened Peter. He hit him on his side, to get his attention, and told him, "Arise up quickly." And praise the Lord, those chains fell off from his hands. Oh, yes. And the angel told Peter to gird himself, bind on his sandals, and so he did. And then, put your garments around you and follow me. And, Peter obviously thought he was in a dream. But, he did it. He did it. He did all those things. And then he went and followed that angel. And he didn't understand that it was true. He went not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but he thought he was seeing a vision. And my, oh my, they go through the first ward, they go through the second ward, they come to the iron gate that led into the city, and it just opens to them of its own accord. And oh, praise the Lord, Peter suddenly realizes, oh my, they passed through one street and the angel left. And Peter realized, oh my, God has delivered me. Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, we know that he came to the place where the saints were praying, the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And then there many had gathered for a prayer meeting. Oh, praise the Lord, a wonderful prayer meeting. Oh, praise the Lord. They could hardly believe it, but praise the Lord, God delivered Peter. He heard the prayers of the people. Praise the Lord, even though they were astonished. Oh, they could hardly believe it, but oh yes, the greatness of it, because the prayers of the people of God had availed. God had heard them. Oh, praise the Lord. And God hears our prayers too. Oh, praise the Lord. Such a privilege, such a wonderful thing to go before the throne of grace to bring them forth. Oh, yes. The petitions, the needs, the things that God puts on our hearts, even for one another. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes. Paul was able to, yes, tell these dear people here at Corinth, oh yes, that God had used them. Oh yes, they had been a part of his ministry through their prayers, praise the Lord. And oh yes, God had used them for his kingdom and for his glory. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, we're told that, yes, it's not going to be easy to follow the Lord Jesus. Those that are in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. Yeah, it's even a given thing. And oh yes, we are told that great need that we must not trust in ourselves, but oh yes, that faith that he puts in our heart, even though, oh, it might be a very desperate moment. It may seem impossible, the circumstances that we have found ourselves in. But oh, God knows how to intervene. Oh, he hears the prayers. He knows the need. He knows how to answer. Oh, yes. It most likely isn't going to be the way we imagined. But God hears and answers prayer. And praise the Lord, what a privilege it is. As, oh, yes, we turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ as we come before him. Oh, yes, as we learn, oh, yes, to submit ourselves unto God. He knows how to hear and answer prayer, Lord. Knows how to use us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we are so blessed to be participants. We are so blessed to have that life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I end here tonight, I just want to read 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He called us unto his eternal purpose. Oh, his eternal glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, there's going to be some trials. There's going to be some tests. There's going to be some suffering. But praise the Lord. Oh, it's going to bring forth benefits. Yes, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your plan, your purpose, your call, oh Lord. Thank you for giving us strength. Oh yes, and that hope, oh Lord, and the ability, oh God, to walk in faith and to live for you. Oh God, to endure until the end by thy grace and by thy mercy. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord kept the power on for us, and it looks like he held back the storm. It is still expected to roll through a little bit later tonight, and we are expected to have bad storms tomorrow as well, possibly tornadoes. So we appreciate your continued prayers. But we're going to open to number 108 in the chorus book in closing and sing He Set Me Free, 108. He set me free, oh, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, he set me free. He set me free, oh, he set me free. He
night. Praise the Lord. Message.